AviationPros.com is the portal website for AMT, Airport Business, and Ground Support Worldwide magazines. Visit daily for breaking news, industry blogs, and insightful articles from our magazine's editorial team. And don't forget to sign up for our publication's daily e-newsletters. It's all at AviationPros.com.
Hello and welcome to the Aviation Pros Podcast. I'm Christina Marsh, editor of Airport Business. Recently, the Gerald R. Ford International Airport broke ground on a $135 million terminal enhancement project. Today, we're speaking with the airport's president and CEO, Tory Richardson, to learn more about the exciting project. Tory, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Christina. Glad to be here.
So could you provide an overview of the terminal enhancement project and its significance for the airport?
Absolutely. We're delighted to do that. So the terminal enhancement project, or as we call it, TEP, is an investment, as you mentioned, of $135 million, really focused on enhancing and expanding our facilities to accommodate the strong growth that we see in West Michigan. In 2023, the airport had another record-breaking year for passenger activity. So far this year, we're on pace for 18% busier than last year. So with all this growth and activity and demands, more of our facilities and systems need to grow with it. So TEP is really focused on solving several current challenges, such as the lack of curb front loading and unloading space, the lack of capacity for airline ticket counters, inadequate baggage claim devices and size of those devices, and our baggage inspection and sortation is a very manual and inefficient process. So TEP will really provide more curb front access, consolidated and expanded airline ticket counter positions, more and larger bag claim devices, and an automated inline checked baggage inspection, sortation, and conveyance system that will greatly improve operations for our airlines as well as the Transportation Security Administration.
So can you give folks a little bit of a timeline as for, so you guys just broke ground on this. When are we expecting how many phases to be part of this?
Yeah, so there's really going to be two phases. As you look at what we need to do with relocating the ticket counters for the airlines, of course, we need to have that done before we can go back in and replace those spaces with baggage claim devices. So we just broke ground on phase one, which will take us about 2 years. And that's really going to be the heart of the project. That is the relocation of all of the ticket counter location and positions. It's expanding the curb front, expanding the terminal on the front side, as well as behind the ticket counter operations will be the check baggage inspection system. So phase one is by far the majority of it. Phase two will then follow once everything is out of that space, over on what we would consider to be the east end of the building. And then that will be modified to accommodate the new baggage carousels and design of that. So it's going to be 2 years of construction, probably third year by the time we get into that last phase.
Okay. Can you talk about any specific sustainability elements that are being incorporated into the project?
Sure. So we're always focused on what can we do to be more sustainable, both from an environmental, but also just from an operational inefficiency perspective. So in the baggage handling system that we've selected, it's an upgrade to a sustainable, reliable, energy efficient system. It's known in the industry as an ICS or individual carrier system. And we can talk a little bit more about what that exactly means. But that system is known for its reliability and high energy efficiency. In terms of some of the, plumbing and things like that, we're, focused on reducing water consumption. So those new plumbing fixtures are designed to minimize water use and reduce energy consumption that might be associated with needing to heat that. From a heating and cooling perspective, we have high efficiency boilers that are providing the heating to the facility. The bag makeup area will be continually monitored for temperature and air quality, really only heating and venting the space as needed to reduce the energy demand. And then once air is heated or cooled, it will pass through what we call an air-to-air energy recovery unit to exchange the energy to incoming fresh air in lieu of heating or cooling that new air from outside. So it's a little bit more efficient that way. The second floor space is really set up to be additional administration, whether it be airport administration or some of our tenant administrative functions. That space is going to be more natural daylighting. So, you know, throughout that workspace, we're going to see more natural lighting, obviously high efficiency, energy efficiency windows. We do a lot with the LED lighting, so trying to minimize costs there. And then our board is very focused on trying to, as I said, be sustainable, then also support what's happening locally. So even in the procurement of materials and products and services, it's what can we do locally with local companies, local organizations, and local locations, if you will, for supplying some of the materials. So Michigan is home to the largest limestone quarry. It's Rogers City, Michigan. That limestone is critical in the ingredients for making the terrazzo floor and the cement. And of course, that will be, you know, sourced here locally. So having the ability to do that minimizes, you know, trucking, transport, emissions, and everything that goes with it. So really just kind of a holistic, how can we reduce our, you know, environmental footprint in various aspects?
Absolutely. So going back, you had mentioned the ICS, the individual carrier system for baggage handling screening. Can you talk about some of the benefits with that system and how it'll improve airport efficiency?
Absolutely. And this is something that we really looked at it. We probably spent, I'll say, a year and a half kind of really looking at various systems that are out there and working with our airline partners and the Transportation Security Administration or TSA partners, really trying to identify what's the right solution for Grand Rapids. And we really came down to this ICS system, or as you mentioned, the individual carrier system. It's relatively new in the US, maybe, you know, 3 years old. So it wasn't easy to find locations in the US that have this, but it's been successful in Europe for well over a decade. So, you know, kind of after reviewing those operational benefits of the system and reviewing that with our airline and TSA partners, we really decided this is the right avenue for us here at the airport from a sustainable and efficient operations. Is to kind of tie back to that, you know, the energy consumption of the ICS system is really about 50% of what a conventional system would run. Really due to the fact that it's using sort of the latest technology, the IE5 motors, and only moving the belts when an item is present, rather than having the entire system, you know, continuously running all the time and all of those motors running. This starts and stops and does so on demand. The environmental footprint for constructing of this ICS system is about 50% of the construction footprint of a conventional system, and the useful life of this is 30 plus years of operational life expectancy. So well beyond the 10, 15, maybe even 20 year lifespan that you see in some of the conventional. From the annual environmental footprint for the ICS system, we're really looking about 30% over, less than a conventional system. And from a noise and reduction, vibration, so forth, this is a very, very calm and very quiet operating system. On the reliability side, as we talk about, you know, the individual carrier, really those are the totes. So moving bags and individual totes allows for 100% bag tracking throughout the system for both the TSA and the airlines, really give them confidence and awareness. It also, because of the totes tend to operate more efficiently, you have less bag jams resulting basically from poor bag hygiene, we call it. In other words, the way it was loaded, or sometimes just the way people stuff their bags. You know, if you think of a system trying to be designed to essentially convey any type of bag, whether it's a square bag, a flat bag, a roller bag, a bag like a duffel that might toss and tumble on a bag, all of these are going to go into a tote. So it's very smooth operation and very consistent in that it's going to move the bag depending on, or regardless of the type of bag it is, it's going to move it depending on what the system is telling it to do. So the speed, the consistency of the totes that can be moved through there all are increased over a conventional system. And so time from ticket counter to basically sortation and ready for placement on the aircraft is reduced significantly.
Oh, that's interesting. Can you explain or can you talk about how the terminal enhancement project aligns with the broader Elevate Capital Expansion Program? And can you tell folks what some of the key objectives are of that program?
Sure. So our Elevate, what we call Elevate, is a program that consists of several capital expansion projects. And so is one of those. So it's a key component. So through our master planning process, we identified a number of constraints that must be mitigated to accommodate existing as well as future demand. From that master planning work, we identified six primary construction projects with our Elevate capital program that will address each of those constraints that were identified. So the six primary projects are the Concourse A expansion, the consolidated rental car facility, relocation of our air traffic control tower, our terminal enhancement project that just kicked off, construction of the federal inspection station, or FIS as we call it, and then a north parking garage. And so we just completed Concourse A expansion. Our Conrack is under construction now and will be operational in 2026. The air traffic control tower is at 70% completion in the design phase with an expected 100% completion in design later this year. Then we plan to push for that to move into the construction phase next year, and will take about 2 years to complete. We just broke ground, as we mentioned, on the TEP, the Terminal Enhancement Project, which is going to take 2 years to complete. And then we'll be advancing our FIS project. Once the air traffic control tower is relocated, then we can address our covered parking demand with a new six-level north parking garage. So collectively, those six very large projects, all $100 to $150 million+ projects, are aimed at, you know, identifying and resolving constraints that we have identified through that master planning process in terms of things that need to be corrected or improved or enhanced for that, you know, better guest experience.
So expanding on that, let's talk about some of these other projects involved in the Elevate program. Sure. What impact do you anticipate the Federal Inspection Station, or FIS, will have on international flight operations at the airport?
So the FIS is critical for international flight operations. While we have Customs and Border Patrol officers and a facility at the airport today, it really supports cargo and general aviation needs. We do not have the facility and the U.S. Customs Border Patrol staff to support international processing of passengers arriving by large commercial airline aircraft. So we really need the U.S. Customs Border Patrol staff so that we can engage them on the final phase of our FIS facility, as well as to have the staffing to support international flight operations. So we've completed phase one. The next phase is really more the final build, if you will, for the FIS, which needs to be online before we can handle any of those international operations. And right now we've got multiple carriers that are asking, you know, for that service, that facility, so that they can start service. So something that we'll be working on, but again, we've got to relocate our air traffic control tower to make some space for some of these things. And it's probably another question or comment that we want to talk about, since it does inhibit our ability to do some of this.
So how will the relocation of the air traffic control tower contribute to the overall development plans for the airport's terminal area?
Yeah, so the relocation of our tower is important in that it's already inhibiting our ability to do stuff. So in its current location and at its current height, it is limiting our ability to grow and develop within our existing core terminal area. So we've had to deny requests for hangars, for an aircraft maintenance repair and overhaul facility, hotels, and other commercial development, because such development would impede visibility to some of our runways and taxiways from the air traffic control tower's perspective in the cab, which obviously air traffic controllers must be able to see in order to manage the traffic on the ground. So really, for us to be able to do the parking garage, possibly the FIS, and certainly a hotel that would be close proximity to the terminal, we can't do any of those projects until we get the tower moved, and which is why we've been working at this for literally decades, trying to get the right resources lined up to get the tower moved. And again, in 70% design now, finishing that later this year, and hopes to get it into the construction phase sometime in the next fiscal year.
So the Elevate program also includes the Conrack facility. Can you discuss some of the expected benefits of that?
Yeah, so our Conrack facility, you know, there's really a couple different things here that were going on. So right now, all of our rental car operations are out in our public parking garage. The Conrack facility will provide the rental car operators with their own dedicated facility for the customer service operations, for the ready return car storage, as well as the quick turn operations to clean, fuel, and service the vehicles and get them ready for, you know, the next guest use. So that quick turn area within the new contract is going to eliminate about 90% of our rental car operations out on our front roadway, thus reducing the congestion and vehicle emissions that we see with that. And then the Conrack will be connected to the terminal building through a climate-controlled walkway. So once complete, we can reclaim about 1,000 parking spaces in our garage to convert back to public parking, which addresses a 1,200 covered parking space deficit that we have today. So we already know through a study that was done a couple years ago that we're short of covered parking. But as I mentioned, we can't build a new garage because its location would conflict with a tower. And so getting the rental cars out of the parking garage will at least buy us a little bit of time with some additional space until the tower's moved, and then we can construct that larger parking garage facility. In the meantime, rental car operators as well as guests using rental cars will experience a much better operation, more efficient, and a better environment so that they're not walking outside and across pedestrian walkways and commercial roadways to get to their vehicle. So it's a win-win for everybody.
So one element of the Elevate program has already been completed, and that's the concourse expansion. Can you tell us how that's improved the passenger and airport operations thus far?
Yeah, so with the concourse expansion, so prior to the concourse expansion, we were already short of space that we needed for gates for airplanes to park at, but also hold rooms, so the size of the hold rooms for the guests to wait at. And then also had a deficiency in not enough food and beverage retail concessions operations. Because of that, we were running, we're an O&D originating destination airport, and we were pushing about 60% of our passengers through the facility within about 4:30 a.m. to about 9:30 a.m., which means every airline was operating their gate with 2 to 4 airplanes on it at a time, kicking those early morning flights out, which was very troubling for them from an operational standpoint to have to, taxi and tow airplanes up and to and from the gate a lot. This Concourse A expansion has pretty much eliminated all that. We do have a couple of remote parking positions that they still utilize, but for the most part are able to accommodate that early morning strong push and then have those planes return at the gate and be able to stay on the gate overnight. So it's been a great expansion. 8 additional gates has provided us the opportunity to serve what we have today, but then also even increase with some new airlines that are going to be joining us later this year. And up until then, we really didn't have the space to accommodate them. Keep in mind, our facility used to be primarily a regional jet market, which means those gates, in terms of size and the gate hold rooms, everything was sized for a much smaller airplane. And that cascades throughout the terminal. So not only the gate areas, but also that baggage claim, device, if you will, it was set up to take care of basically small airplanes. Well, today we have scheduled service on Boeing 757, some of the largest airplanes, in operation. So having to expand the facilities to accommodate those larger airplanes, more people, more demands on our facilities and services, this, Concourse A expansion was one of several of these projects in Elevate that are going to address those needs and prepare us for the future.
So I think anytime an airport is undergoing large infrastructure projects like these, a common challenge is making sure that there are minimal disruption to passengers during the construction phases. Can you talk about how the airport is going about trying to minimize those disruptions during the construction phases?
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, people don't like to accept a short-term inconvenience for a long-term benefit, right? We tend to be a little more short-sighted and displeased with some of those reroutings or noise or dust construction activities. Fortunately or unfortunately, we've really gotten pretty good at this because we have been, working through the concourse and having to keep the concourse open. So we couldn't just shut down the concourse and build new. We had to continue to operate out of those gates because, as I mentioned, we were at capacity for those gates to start with. So had to have construction tunnels, if you will, taking people, passengers and guests through construction areas or in routes that will take them around some of those hazard work areas. So didn't have the luxury to build new space in all of our locations. In some cases we do, but working very closely with our consultants and our contractors to establish those safe work zones in areas, you know, close to public spaces. You know, we do close small portions at a time to get work done there and then move to the next area. So there's a lot of cascading of the work, if you will, that happens. Sometimes it means rerouting the passengers, relocating the airlines and the tenants to accommodate that work, like we've had to do in Concourse A, like we're going to be doing with TEP once we start working inside the building here. So planning, sequencing, and constant communications are sort of key to ensuring that we can continue to serve the guest while making these improvements. And for TEP, you know, we're a little more fortunate that we've got some new space that we're building that we can be out there first before we tie into the existing space, which will impact our airlines and will require some temporary relocation. But we try to minimize that and certainly try to plan, accommodate, and communicate that well in advance.
So, Tori, I have one more question for you. How do you see the airport evolving in the next decade, considering these significant infrastructure investments?
That's a great question. So, you know, obviously we do see the airport continuing to evolve. We've seen it with the work that we're doing today. The plans that we have in place for the future indicate more of that. You know, as our demand increases from the guest experience, as well as the number of guests, we need to evolve both from services, but also in facilities. So from a services perspective, we started something we called the Ford Launchpad for Innovative Technologies and Entrepreneurship, or FLITE, F-L-I-T-E, as we call it. And really it partners with businesses, whether they be existing or startups, to help develop, test, deploy, and scale innovative products and services and technologies are really aimed at improving the airport operations and efficiency and or elevating the guest experience. So we've had through the first five rounds about 20 different projects from, you know, drone security to autonomous vehicles to autonomous wheelchairs to autonomous lawn mowing. I mean, lots of different products and services. And we see from a service perspective, some of those innovative ideas coming to fruition. Still very early in the stages today, but when we talk about in the next decade, some of those are going to be refined and we're going to see more of them deployed at airports. In fact, traveling through one recently, I did see some of the wheelchairs that were out there that are autonomous and operating another airport too. So it is slowly taking, you know, taking hold, if you will, and providing that service. From the facilities perspective, kind of as I mentioned before, the relocated air traffic control tower is going to allow us to accommodate the additional parking garage that is forecast to be needed within the next 5 to 10 years. It'll also allow for the hotel development close to the terminal. Once the FIS is complete, we'll be offering international flights to our community. The future Concourse C will be connected to what we're currently working on with TEP that we have underway today. That'll provide more gates and the opportunity for more air service. In the meantime, we continue to develop our airport consistent with our master plan. And today we have a new aircraft rescue firefighting facility that's under construction. Earlier today, we broke ground on expansion to our maintenance facility to provide snow removal equipment storage facility for the future. And so we see constant progress, constant improvement, keeping pace with a very vibrant and growing community. And who knows what the next 10 years is going to bring, but we're certainly laying the groundwork today to make sure that we're able to serve in those decades to come.
Well, it certainly sounds like there's a lot of exciting projects to look forward to seeing coming at the airport.
Absolutely. We're excited for it. It is a bit of a challenge. So as you mentioned, you know, how do we keep things moving, minimize the dust and the noise and the passengers flowing smoothly? And so we work very hard at that and pride ourselves on basically having a very good track record for that. But a lot of it is communication and for people to see the improvements that you're making and see once they come online that, wow, this is a, you know, very unique experience and something that we desperately need. And that's really the kind of reaction we get from Concourse A when people come in. You know, they may have flown out of Concourse A before it was complete and came back into the expanded and new area of that facility. And they can't believe what a night and day difference it is. It's like, you know, this is exactly what we need for our community. So having the appreciation to see some of those projects all the way through to completion, fruition are rewarding.
Yeah, I'm sure it sounds very exciting to be able to see that and to get those passenger reactions. Well, Tori, thank you so much for joining us today and telling us more about some of these projects.
Well, Christine, it's a pleasure. And like I said, we're excited for it. And we certainly appreciate you taking the time to check in with us to see how things are going and what we're doing.
Thanks again for listening to today's podcast. Stay up to date on industry news, current issues, and information specifically for airports, airport operations, FBOs, and airport-based business by subscribing to Airport Business Daily Newsletter. And as always, please continue to visit aviationpros.com.